Turn to Genesis 3. In Genesis chapter 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Glory to God. Tonight we're going to talk about spiritual wisdom. Man, do we need it. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, let's read this together. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now you got to understand something, because the serpent convinced her that this, if you ate of this tree, you were going to become wise. Does everybody get that? Now he also convinced her that it was going to fulfill her desires of her flesh, which she didn't even know about. And it was going to fulfill the lust of her eyes, which things that she saw. But she didn't even understand that. And so the serpent, being wise, because he's the most cunning beast created, correct? Who was Satan, knew exactly how to get her out of position, which we've been talking about greatly. And it seems to be more and more impressed in my spirit. It seems like that kind of seems like one of the basic bottom lines of what the devil does to us, doesn't he? He pushes us out of position. And he goes through great length to push us out of position. Through lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are the three things that he tempts us with, isn't it? In verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So we see here that their eyes were opened, and we understand after past teachings that in reality, their eyes were closed to the spirit realm, and they were open to the natural realm. So their eyes were really open to the state of good and evil. Actually, the state of good and evil of darkness. Even though that we understand that there's not good in darkness and no goodness dwells in darkness, but there is a deception, because even the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of what? Light, as a form of goodness, right? Because even some of the things that Satan brings up sound good. They sound good. They look good. Common sense will tell you it's good. I mean, when we were in the world, we thought we were good. If we were good, we were all right. You know? So that was deception. We were blinded. You know? We were good going on the way to hell. We were doing good deeds right to hell. You know, we thought what we did was good enough, so yeah, okay, no problem. But it's truth and life that brings us to eternal life. Truth, which brings us to life. So we see here that what was closed was the spiritual realm of fellowship and insight of the truth, known as the light of life, right? And this separated state had continued until an individual actually chooses Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. So this fallen state of blindness stays until an individual chooses the Christ and His power of the Holy Spirit, as when that state begins to change. But prior to that, from the day that the serpent deceived Eve, and Eve used the goods of the serpent to deceive Adam, then their eyes were shut to the spirit realm, in the realm of the light of life, because they were access to the tree of life. And then God removed them from the tree of life so that they couldn't carry on this fallen state. Because remember before we talked about the seed of the serpent was actually our flesh now. Amen? So we see that this state is still going on to this day. this fallen state, this blindness. And what the serpent promised was wisdom to be like God. He promised to fulfill a desire that she didn't even know that she had. And to fulfill a desire of sight. And that's how we used to walk, wasn't it? We walked by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and by pride. Everybody out in the world is trying to be somebody. We need to do a teaching on being yourself. But to trying to be somebody. And, you know, I talked to a man today on the phone who was an alcoholic and shared with him some of these things and shared with him that one of the reasons why he drank and so forth was because he couldn't fulfill what he wanted to be. So because he couldn't fulfill what he wanted to be, he put it under what we call under the rug of drugs or alcohol, and covering the pain and so forth with not fulfilling. And share with them, you know what, you want to be somebody you can't be. And the world is telling you through TV and through things that you read and things that you hear of trying to be somebody of the world instead of walking in the likeness of Christ. And that's where the torment came from. But anyways, hallelujah. So we see that the sight, the eyes were closed to the spiritual realm of life, fellowship with Christ in the spirit realm, the anointed one who walked in the garden, who was God, right? Who was Jesus. And it was open to the realm of good and evil, of darkness. Amen? Acts 9, please. And as I shared that, these scales that are on the eyes don't get removed until one comes to Christ and the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. In Acts chapter 9. Glorious. Glorious. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. In verse 10, Acts 9, verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in the vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now we see here that what did Ananias do? He came over, laid hands on Saul with the transferring of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Saul, who became Paul. Now, you got to understand that Saul was a man, a Pharisee who knew the law. He knew the letter very well. But he did not have spiritual wisdom. In fact, he thought he was killing for God. He thought he was removing those who were blaspheming God. He thought he was doing the right thing. So we see here that without the Holy Spirit, you do not have spiritual insight. Amen? And without fellowship And walking in the Spirit, you do not have spiritual insight. And that's what the devil wants to do, is always push us out of the Spirit. Amen? So that we lose sight of spiritual insight. Amen? Now I'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. That's why there are those who can memorize the Bible but do not have any understanding. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. So right now there are many people in the world that are walking around with scales on their eyes. You saw here that the scales came off of Saul's eyes, didn't they? When he received the Holy Spirit. Because when he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, God blinded him. So that he couldn't focus on anything else. He couldn't go anywhere. He had to be guided by someone, didn't he? That's how you and I need to be, is blinded to the world and be guided by the Spirit. Like a pilot who flies by his instruments. He doesn't go, if he was trying to find out where he was going up in the air and trying to find the roads, that'd be very difficult. He's got to go by his instruments, doesn't he? Because his instruments won't lie to him. And God have mercy if they did. But you and I, it's the same thing. You know, I used to fly search and rescue in helicopters when I was in the Navy. And I was a plane captain and used to jump out and rescue people and so forth. We were on a search and rescue team. Hallelujah, still on the search and rescue team. And when the pilots used to practice, they used to have these helmets on and these black coverings would come over their eyes. And there were blinders that would come down on the helmet so that they could not see outside. The only thing that they could see was their instruments. And they had to fly by instruments. And so I would be in there, you know, because they needed one of us to be with them while they would do the flying. And you'd have the main pilot that was doing the testing and then the co-pilot was being trained. And I'd be sitting in the back watching this go on. And, you know, we'd be seeing all kinds of stuff going. And I'm sure I prayed a little bit then, too. But, oh God, don't let anything happen to me, these guys. But it was pretty interesting. And you know what? You and I have to fly that way now. Because you and I cannot go by what we see or what we feel or what we think. We must go by the instrument of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We must go by that instrument. We must learn. It's not something that's just, bam, here it is. We learn it. Just like that pilot that has to be blinded and learn to trust his instruments, so you and I must learn to trust the Spirit of the living God. And we're going to have to go through trials and tribulations to get there. That's how we learn. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's read this together, please. Well, you know what? Let's start at verse 2. Let's read it. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now the gospel reveals the Christ, doesn't it? Remember, we talked about that already before. In fact, the first thing Jesus preached was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's introducing the Spirit of the Lord, isn't he? The Christ, meaning the Anointed One and his anointing, which is going to remove the scales. So we see here that those who are under the God of this age are blinded, aren't they? See, so that has still been going on since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Amen? So if you and I are not walking according to the gospel, according to the word of the Lord, and obedience and submission, we're still blinded, aren't we? We're still blinded. Because he says, the word says, listen, okay, look in verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, which means to follow, who do not believe. So there are many who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, aren't there, who are not following because they have not have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which removes the scales. And then, of course, we need to keep those scales off by constantly being filled with the Spirit of God, don't we? That's the difference between relationship and religion, isn't it? That's the difference between inside of the Spirit and fellowship in the Spirit and the outer courts and just with the letter. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Isaiah 11. So what is Satan actually doing? Still blinding people from the truth. Isaiah 11. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read verse 1 and 2 together. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who is the branch? Hallelujah. The Christ, the body of Christ, will be. Who are we? Who's the vine? Jesus is the vine and we are the what? Branches. Amen. And through us, the fruits are being brought forth, right? Okay, now look it. Out of the stem of Jesse, he's talking about a stem of Jesse. He's talking about a branch. Shall grow out of his roots. Now, he's talking about the Christ here. Yes. Okay. But he's talking about David's throne. And on David's throne, Jesus is going. If you go down the family lineage of all the family line of Jesse and David and so forth, you're going to find out that you go all the way to Jesus the Christ. Amen. So he's saying out of this family line, out of this stem, out of this seed that's coming down this line, there's going to be one that's going to come up. And this is what's going to be about him in verse 2. It's going to say what? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, there's sevenfold or seven characters of the Holy Spirit. And this is them. He's known as the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And in the Old Testament, you can find every one of these characters of the Holy Spirit was upon an individual. They didn't have them all. But you and I have them all because we have now the Holy Spirit has been available since the day of Pentecost, is available for me and you. In other words, true spiritual insight of the spiritual realm, of the truth and the mysteries of God is now available for me and you through the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? But at that time, it was not. So we know that the Spirit of the Lord was upon David, wasn't it? Now look at the next character after the Spirit of the Lord. What's the next one? The Spirit of what? Wisdom. Wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. And of course it says what? Then the Spirit of understanding, counsel, might, and fear, which would mean reverence to God. Amen? Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is to judge correctly any action or circumstance based on what we know, and how we comprehend what we know. And I'm going to shorten it down simply. Is everybody with me? Wisdom is to judge correctly, let me repeat this, any action or circumstance based on what we know and how we comprehend what we know. And how we comprehend what we know. So, wisdom is actually, to judge is to discern, isn't it? So wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge and understanding to one's advantage. Because if wisdom is to judge correctly any action or circumstance based on what we know, knowing something is a representation of knowledge, isn't it? And how we comprehend the knowledge is known as understanding. Everybody get it? So wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge and understanding to one's advantage. Amen? Hallelujah. There are three types of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom. There is spiritual wisdom. And there's the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. So we understand that the worldly wisdom is the wisdom of the world, spiritual wisdom is the wisdom from God, and the word of wisdom is a gift from God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Exodus 28? Do I need to repeat any of this? Okay. Exodus 28. Exodus 28 and verses 1 through 4. Now Moses was commanded to build the tabernacle of God, where God would have a dwelling place and prepare everything. So God was given Moses instructions and so forth. In verse 28, chapter 28 and verse 1. Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. The spirit of wisdom was given to these men for the service of the Lord. Does everybody get it? The spirit of wisdom was given to these men for the service of the Lord. What did God do? In other words, the Lord had a plan, and he imparted in this the spirit of wisdom in them so that they would know what to do. Amen? Didn't say that they had a word of wisdom that they moved and they get. God just imparted them in them. They didn't have the fullness of the Spirit, did they, like we do? He just imparted in them the spirit of wisdom for service to the Lord. Well, if he imparted the wisdom in them for service to the Lord, and you and I are called to serve the Lord, don't you think we need spiritual wisdom? Amen. Amen. Greatly. Greatly. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Hallelujah. First Kings in chapter 3. Verse 5. Everybody there? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Man, some of us are just praying that God would show up and say, "Ask." Lord, when are you going to show up and just say, "Ask"? But see, he did show up and he said, "Ask." In Jesus. He said, "Ask and you shall receive. And anything you ask in my name will be given unto you." So he didn't have to appear in a dream. He came in the flesh to me and you already. Glory to God. Oh, if we could just hold on to that when we pray. Verse 6. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in what? Truth." So he showed mercy, didn't he? "In righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." No. Discern is a representation of what? Wisdom. "For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So what was he asking for? Wisdom. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice." In other words, they have wisdom. "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." Now he gives them a stipulation. "So if you walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Amen. Now turn to verse 28. So there's a stipulation on everything, isn't there? What did he say? He said, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for all these other things, you asked for wisdom and how to lead my people, this is what's going to happen. In verse 28, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which..." Now, of course, Solomon was brought, because he was judging in his court. He was brought two women, and the whole story is in here in chapter 3. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but he showed his great wisdom in the discerning of how to judge these two women, claiming that this child was both theirs. And when he made the judgment through this wisdom that God had given him, Everybody heard about the. Everybody heard about it. The great wisdom that he had. Now let me share something with you. Solomon stepped out in faith. He was told that he had received the wisdom. So he began to utilize what he told he had. The problem is in everything we told we have it, but we don't use it. We still want to go on the ways of the world instead of looking in the Spirit. And it brings us back to the world and brings us up, pushes us out of position. Amen? Okay. In verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Now they feared doing the wrong things because they knew that God would know, that Solomon, the judge, would know through the Spirit of what was going on and how to judge this. Because they knew it was the wisdom of God that was in him. Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. See, some people won't even want to sit down at the table with you. Because they'll know that you'll know. They know. Because they know that the wisdom of God is in you. Amen? And they know that, because you have fellowship in the Spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord is revealing things to you. Amen? And it's not to hurt anyone. Does everybody understand that? God doesn't give us gifts and wisdom to hurt anyone. It's to rescue someone. And then it's also to protect you. Does everybody get it? Let's go to Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 13. And let's read this all together. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Is everybody there? Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Let's read that one more time. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Oh, powerful. Let's go on. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Cannot compare with what? Wisdom. 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is like a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now check that out. Does everybody get it? She is like a tree of life. Now, who is the tree of life? Jesus. So, that's the name. Jesus is the name of the what? The Christ. Who is the anointed one and his anointing. And the Bible says that the word killeth, but the Spirit brings what?
Life.
Now we have a parallel, the tree of life and the Spirit of life. Does everybody see it? Hallelujah. Open eyes tonight, Lord. So we see here that there are benefits of wisdom, isn't there? Benefits of having wisdom. Right? It talks about not only wealth and riches and so forth, but it talks about pleasantness, happiness, peace, and life. These are benefits of wisdom or having discernment. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Proverbs 4, chapter 5. Verse 5. 5 through 9. Let's read this together. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Love who?
Wisdom.
Amen. Wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will what? Deliver you. Man, look at all the benefits of wisdom. Yet we toss spiritual wisdom aside in so many things. In business decisions, in family decisions, in health decisions, in counsel. You know, remember we talked about that Jesus is the way, truth, and life, and every decision that you and I make is either going to lead to death or to life, isn't it? And without spiritual discernment or spiritual wisdom and fellowship with wisdom, says what? Grab hold of her. Love her. Love wisdom. We should desire wisdom more than anything. What he's saying. Of course, we know that true wisdom is of Christ. We're looking towards Him. Amen. So we need to have discernment, or what we call spiritual wisdom. I mean, even here it says, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the principal thing. Go to Psalm 11. Psalm 111, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, if you do not have reverence to God, if you do not fear Him, or reverence Him, you do not have wisdom. Because that's the first thing that you can do, is to begin to have wisdom. As first of all, have relationship with Him, in reverence to Him. Amen? There are many out there who do not have the wisdom. I mean, we see many people come through discipleship courses, and they begin to learn and learn and learn, and just, they never fulfill. Never complete what they started, because they do not have reverence or fear of the Lord. I mean, we run into people that say, man, you know, I've never completed anything in my life. Unless I was in jail, I had to complete it. You know? And it's because they don't have reverence or fear of God. So they've never completed anything. They don't reverence the wisdom and have the discernment of that there are consequences. In other words, what you sow is what you reap. Amen? There are consequences. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Hallelujah. verse 13. Spiritual wisdom. Everybody there? Anybody got a page? It's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastics. Hallelujah. Anybody know who wrote Ecclesiastics?
Who wrote it?
Solomon.
Amen. Solomon. The book is recognized as the preacher's book. In verse 13, let's read it. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, and besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, against this great king. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So we see here he says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now, if you just look at, you can kind of scenario picture this. Here's this old man that in this city, right? He's obviously, because he's old, he's been around for a long time, and he knows the city inside out, right? And so the city gets overtaken by a king, right? And he sets all these snares all around, right? But the old man delivers the city because he knows. He knows his way around. He has wisdom or discernment of the city. So the old man knew his way around, and his wisdom was better than the weapons of war. In other words, he made a way of escape for that city, didn't he? Amen? Now, you might not have any weapons, but you may know how to use the wisdom that God has given you to discern what is right, what is wrong. In the spiritual realm, we must also discern that and what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Amen? So we see here that wisdom is what rescued the city, not weapons. And it's wisdom that's going to rescue me and you, not weapons. Amen? Now he's talking about carnal weapons. But wisdom is a spiritual weapon. Everybody understands that, right? Spiritual wisdom is a spiritual weapon. Hallelujah. Let's turn to James 3. James chapter 3. Hallelujah. In James chapter 3 and verse 13. Everybody there? Let's read it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Does everybody understand that? So there is demonic wisdom, and it's called earthly wisdom. And come on, what is the wisdom of man right now? What is their desire? To be self-seeking, isn't it? The reason why man studies and searches and so forth is to be self-seeking. Most of it is to bring prosperity, isn't it? People go to college to find out what's what and whatever. And I'm not saying everyone, you know what I'm saying, but majority of all of this is for self-seeking, isn't it? Because, you know, we've all been grown up, well, don't, you know, be like your brother or be like so-and-so, or it's a family thing. You know, everyone in our family is an attorney. And the Bible says, woe to the attorneys, right? Woe to those attorneys. And, you know, can't you grow up and, you know, whatever? And we've been brought up that way. We've been brought up that way of competition, of being somebody. So we get this earthly wisdom for self-seeking, prosperity, so forth. Let's read 14 again. It sounds good. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Even though it might not be manifested, but it's there. Hallelujah. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see that there's two types of wisdom, isn't there? And we talked about there was earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And the spiritual wisdom comes from above. The earthly wisdom comes from beneath. It's called demonic. Ooh. Hallelujah. Now we know that, remember we talked about spiritual wisdom being God imparted in to be the service of the Lord, right? Now we know that God gave wisdom even to man, but it's not spiritual wisdom, it's wisdom. Amen? What? To become doctors. God gave wisdom to man and talents and so forth. All good things come from God, right? What is it for? To maintain mankind. Because there are those who would not seek God for healing or know that or wouldn't even think of God healing. So they would go to a doctor, wouldn't they? So because God loves his children, even though all of them are his children, even the ones that are disobedient and serving Satan, he still loves them. They're just lost children. So he had placed wisdom in man so that mankind could still exist and maintain life in hope that they would come to salvation. Amen? Because he's their kind of daddy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Is everybody here? First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what?
Perishing.
But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the message of the cross is foolish to many. I know that some of us have tried to explain the message of the cross to many people, and they looked at us with cross eyes or rolled up eyes and said, you're gone. But in true reality, they're gone. In verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So he calls the worldly wisdom foolishness. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now the Greeks are seeking after wisdom for philosophy and stuff like that. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Powerful. So not having spiritual wisdom or spiritual understanding makes us, anything that people try to explain to us in the, of the spirit realm is foolishness to them, no matter what. It's foolishness. Amen? Let's go to chapter 2 in verse 6. Let's read it together. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. What's mystery mean? Hidden. Look at the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our for our glory. So there was a hidden wisdom waiting for me and you. Does everybody get it? There was a hidden wisdom. Look at verse 8. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this hidden wisdom came into the world. This hidden wisdom was for me and you. Now look it. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. Who is the what? Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we need to get in the Spirit to get the things of the Spirit. And we need to have fellowship with the Spirit so that we might have spiritual wisdom and use it. Let's go on. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Freely given to us. In other words, there are things freely given to you, me and you, but we do not know about them unless we get in the Spirit and have fellowship with the Spirit. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's known as wisdom, isn't it? Because it's discerning. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And spiritual discernment is wisdom. But he who is spiritual judges all things. How is he able to judge all things? Because he has wisdom. Amen. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now we got to use it, don't we? We must use it. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit brings spiritual discernment, known as spiritual wisdom. Now let me explain a couple of things, which is important. What is spiritual wisdom then? Spiritual wisdom is what pleases God. We are to know what pleases God. That's what brings spiritual wisdom. Does everybody get it? Spiritual wisdom brings the knowing of what to please God. Spiritual wisdom brings the understanding or the knowing of what causes a stumbling block to a brother or to yourself. If you have spiritual discernment, you have spiritual wisdom. Remember, wisdom is how to use the understanding and knowledge of what God has given us. Spiritual wisdom also is when to correct, rebuke, or speak something to someone. In other words, the next one is discern the voice before speaking. Spiritual wisdom is going to allow you to spiritually discern or compare the voice before you speak, to know whether you're to speak or not to speak. Does everybody understand that? So let me repeat these first four. What pleases God? What causes a stumbling block? When to correct, rebuke, or speak something? And discern the voice before speaking. Number five, spiritual wisdom tells us what's ahead. Knowing what's ahead, you will discern. In other words, how many times have you actually saw what was going to happen before you spoke it? And you spoke it anyways. And you knew that was going to happen. Because you saw what was going to happen. Because the Spirit of Truth is going to tell you things to come. Spiritual wisdom is the discerning of what is going to come before you speak. Amen? Spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom does not assume, but knows. Spiritual wisdom moves us out of assuming, or the assumption state, and brings us into the knowing state. And spiritual wisdom rightly divides the Word of God. Do I need to repeat these? Number one, spiritual wisdom is what pleases God, tells us what pleases God. In other words, we know how to please God by spiritual wisdom. What causes a stumbling block to a brother or ourselves? Number two. Number three is when to correct, rebuke, or speak something. Number four, spiritual wisdom discerns the voice before we speak it. Number five, knows what's ahead. Number six, doesn't assume, but knows. And number seven, rightly divides the word. Now, do you remember when we were talking about in Isaiah 11 about the sevenfold of the Spirit of God? You notice that there were seven things, and the number seven means what?
Complete.
Complete and perfect, doesn't it? So let me share something with you. If you and I are moving in all the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit, you are walking as close to perfection as we can get, ain't it?
Yes.
Not that we won't have afflictions and trials and whatever, but you'll be able to utilize the fullness of the Spirit that's been granted to me and you to make a way of escape, to know what's ahead, to discern all of these things right now. But what we just talked about, these seven things will rescue you and rescue somebody else. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Spiritual wisdom was known as, or some of the mysteries of God was known as hidden wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses, oh, I'm sorry, chapter 12. Sorry. I thought I saw Scott take out his eraser real quick over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are, let's read this together. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom. Isn't that? Look at that one again, the first one, right? Through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge, to another, through the same Spirit. So we see that the word of wisdom is a gift through the Spirit. Now, the word of wisdom is utilized to bring counsel, correction, and direction. The word of wisdom is to bring counsel, correction, and direction. Okay? In other words, if somebody gives you, if the Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom, it's for someone's counsel, correction, or direction. Why? To bring them back in position. Everything that you'll see that the Holy Spirit is giving me and you all the time is to bring us back in position. Or to give us the discernment not to move out of position. Why? So God can fulfill His perfect will in your life and my life. Without wisdom in the Spirit, you never will. You'll never fulfill the perfect will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 1 and 2, let's read it. Pursue love. Is everybody there? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And what did we say mysteries were? Hidden wisdom. Ooh. So do you think if you prayed more in the Holy Ghost, that's more his hidden wisdom might come? I think so. I think it would come a lot more. Now, you can pray in the Holy Ghost and not listen. You still have to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, don't you? I mean, you know, you can pray in the Holy Ghost all day long and never listen to what God is saying. So you and I got to take time to listen to what God is saying. One of the prayers that you and I should be doing every day, Lord, please increase my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding, my discernment, that I can fulfill your will and be about your business. Every day we must ask for more wisdom. We'll finish with the scripture. James 1. Simple teaching. Hallelujah. So would you think that if you're walking in spiritual wisdom that you would move ahead of God? No. Would you lag behind Him? No. You'd be walking in the Spirit right with Him, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. That's why God puts offices to assist those who are growing so that they can begin to utilize spiritual wisdom. Mm-hmm. Amen? That's why we go for counsel, don't we? So that we can get confirmation of what God has given us. Or so we can get direction through the Spirit so that we can learn spiritual wisdom. It's just like you've got spiritual wisdom is imparted. Now we got to learn it. It gets brought up, doesn't it? Watch, James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, obviously, he's saying you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we just said that walking in the fullness of the Spirit will bring you perfection, and you won't lack anything, will you? Now, look at, this is powerful because he says, listen, count it all joy when you go through various trials, right? He says, listen, these trials are testing your faith. And this faith is producing patience in you, or endurance. Okay? Now, he says, now let it work its perfect work in you. Let it work in you. In other words, take these trials and tribulations and begin to use wisdom to learn from them. In fact, some of these trials and tribulations are going to bring you wisdom. Watch this. In verse 5, what's the first thing he says? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So what's he introducing us to? Wisdom. Remember, we just read a while ago that wisdom is the principal thing of everything. Said to grab hold of her. She's more precious than gold or silver. Wisdom is spiritual discernment. Amen. Knowing what to do with the understanding and the knowledge that's been given to me and you. Now to put it in action, we must go through various trials. Because you must learn wisdom and you must work wisdom. Wisdom is not something that's set up on a shelf. Wisdom is worked. Okay? Solomon worked wisdom. That's right, on the job training. Holy Ghost boot camp. Learning wisdom. Now, he says, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now he says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. What's he saying? When you ask, work it. If you ask for it, you have it, now work it. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Whoa. So what's he saying? Don't doubt. Don't doubt it. When you ask for wisdom, work it, because you should believe it. When you ask for understanding, work it. You know, when I got saved, you're talking about an individual that was, not a reader. And I could see real good then too. But I was not a reader, you know. And, I don't think I ever completed a book in my life. Except for one that had a bunch of pictures. And I began to, when I got filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to read the Bible, he would quicken me. You can do all things through Christ. And I would get to a point where I would want to stop reading, then all of a sudden, no! And I had to continue to break through. The next thing I know, I was reading books. I read more books in 1 year than I did my whole total life. I mean, now I have five books laying next to my bed, and I'm reading them all at once. Learning from this, learning from that. Lay one down for a few days. Could be a week, and the Holy Spirit will say, pick this one up. Let's get going on this one. I want to show you something here. I want to show you something there. And they all coordinate with one another, and they could be totally different things from everywhere. Because we have to believe when we ask, and we have to work it, and that's what faith becomes manifest. Faith is tangible. Faith is not put on the shelf. That's why faith is known as a substance. Substance things are tangible. Faith is tangible. So when you ask for it, work it, believe that you have it, and work it. And you'll find that it will become manifest. But don't fear and don't doubt. Work it. Amen? Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. And we ask, please, that you would increase our wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. And, Lord, help us to work it. Lord, many of us have many decisions to make. We need to have discernment on how to raise our children. We need to have the wisdom on what to say and what to do and how to correct and direct. Lord, we need to have wisdom in everyday life and of what to do at work and how to use something so that it won't offend someone or hurt someone or even ourselves. Lord, we need to have the wisdom to be a witness unto you. Daniel had great understanding, Lord. You gave him the understanding. He was able to discern dreams because you gave him the wisdom to discern the dreams. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'll increase everybody's wisdom and understanding in here. And give us the strength to work it with no doubting, with no fear, with total trust that what we ask for, we have. And as we begin to work it, Lord, we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and hallelujah.